Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everyone, welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
What are we talking about today, Sam?
We are talking about the idea of feeling uncomfortable because posted to the internet, and this one wasn't near as controversial as the other one, but I did notice, like, it popped off a little bit, and I did notice that it was creating like an interesting response in people. So what I said in the video is that the whole point of therapy is to figure out how to sit and experience discomfort, not how to avoid discomfort. Now, the funny thing was there were a bunch of people that were like, you can't say this because there's people in abusive relationships and you're telling them that it's okay to be uncomfortable in their abusive relationship. And I was like, I'm just asking for like maybe an inch of grace that that's probably not what I'm assuming in this post. And there were a bunch of people that actually like commented back to some of these people and were like, that's not like, how could you think she's thinking that? Like, look at all her other content, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, my minions, like, defend me. But regardless, I thought it brought up an interesting topic and concept because there were like other people in the comments that were also saying things like, it took me a really long time to realize this, and I like recycled through a lot of therapists not realizing I was like avoiding that part of it. Or also there were people that said, like, talking about how that had changed their life when they realized that that was the key, and that therapists who had been honest and open with them about that, they had like the most productive therapeutic relationship through that because they recognized like from the get-go what the expectation was.
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately what has happened, you know, I think the theme of our podcast can also be summed up as what goes wrong on the internet when talking about mental health content.
Excellent.
And we're here to, you know, clarify things. And I think as we've, you know, destigmatized mental health more, more people are going to therapy, it is more in the public conversation. And online, I think it is also sort of what is therapy has become misconstrued a bit. And
yeah,
I think this is what I'm thinking of, that I think partly has caused this shift. I think one part of it is we went from saying that people with serious mental health issues were the ones that needed therapy to now having a broader conversation about how therapy is for everyone and lots of people can benefit from therapy. And in that change, I feel like expectations of what therapy is has changed, because if someone has like a severe mental health issue, I think it's pretty obvious, hopefully, that they're going to be uncomfortable to heal from that. Like, if you are struggling with debilitating depression, debilitating trauma, or even more things, maybe not even trauma, PTSD, like things, you know, bipolar disorder, something that has serious impacts that's really impacting your functioning. Or like recovery. I think about it a lot in addiction. Like, it's really obvious to people who are getting into recovery that therapy is going to be uncomfortable for them.
Right.
But if you are going into therapy because you want better communication skills, or you just aren't feeling good and it's more vague about what you want, I think that creates an interesting dynamic where then you don't have to change if you don't want to. But also you're in therapy, so you have goals and you need to be uncomfortable to meet them. I don't know if I even agree with what I said for sure. This is me trying to figure it out as I'm saying this.
I think it makes a lot of sense. It's the summation of what you just said in my lens is there are a tremendous amount of people that think you go to therapy to be solely validated.
Yeah.
That you're going to go to therapy and it's going to feel so good and it's going to be so nice and someone's just going to tell you all the reasons why you're wonderful and why everything that you've gone through is terrible. And it's a place to just like vent and get it out and kind of complain about day-to-day life and then you move on and you leave.
And in people's defense, some yes. therapists do that. Some so therapists, that is what is yeah. hard.
There are a lot of therapists that just sit there and go, yeah.
And some people want that, right? Yes. Which is also what we're kind of saying.
Yeah. However, I think what you're getting at and what I completely agree with in what you said is that if you are recognizing that there are things in your life that are not working and things that are making you unhappy or things that you've been through that are really heavy for you, mm-hmm. the only way out is through. Mm-hmm. And there will have to be change implemented. There will have to be mental effort in reframing and rewiring how you think about things. There will have to be figuring out how to sit in the discomfort of healing.
Yeah.
And what is so daunting about that is it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of work to lean into that space. And there's never a convenient time in life to start it. Totally. There's never a time where it's like, wow, this everything is so perfect and great right now. I can really go rip myself open and figure yes. out what's going on the inside.
No, in fact, most of us have to have some sort of crisis yeah. where life rips us open right. and then we're bleeding and then we're like, okay, well, this is already open, so I'll accept right. help.
Right. What I wanted to like clarify with that post that mm-hmm. I talked about was, number one, when we are talking about tolerating discomfort, we are not talking about tolerating the discomfort of abusive situations and dynamics.
Yeah. Discomfort and abuse are different.
Those are two different things.
And I think one thing that's helpful to like give people a visual is if we think about what's really fascinating is stress and trauma are on the same scale.
Mm-hmm.
So what we mean by that is that like trauma is just a form of severe stress that is way too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have no stress, like I think a really helpful way to think about it is like your body. And right, I have, if you've been listening, you know I have all of these physical body problems since giving birth. But right, if you don't use your muscles, they atrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up with more problems, right? And that's kind of like avoidance. It's like avoiding discomfort. But if you push yourself too much, mm-hmm. you get injured. You harm yourself. Mm-hmm. So too little stress is also not good. Too mm-hmm. much stress is trauma, not mm-hmm. good. But what's actually really healthy is like productive discomfort. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because everyone's is different.
Right.
But it's like going to the gym and imagining lifting a weight. You mm-hmm. want to find that space where you're doing 10 reps and you can do them, right, for three mm-hmm. sets, but you're not going to kill yourself. You're not going to hurt yourself. You're not so sore that you can't move for multiple days, but you're a mm-hmm. little sore because we want a little bit of breakdown, a little bit of stress to build back the next mm-hmm. day.
I think for me, something that has been really triggering me is the inability people have to understand, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to like articulately explain this,
mm-hmm.
but from your metaphor, right, essentially mm-hmm. what we're talking about is this understanding that there is no way to avoid pain and discomfort in the process of changing.
And even I would take it a step further and say, if you actually do, you will atrophy.
Yes.
And you will get, like,
you'll get worse.
It's like being too flexible or being too strong.
Right.
Either like you get sore if you're not strong enough, you get sore if you're too strong and work out too hard.
And it's why the longer you go without doing those things, it feels that much harder to like take it on and start.
Yep.
So what I feel really uncomfortable with is how many people will just be like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that?
And I think you get that a lot more than me because you are very straight with people and will say like, this is my pep talk.
Yes. A lot of people will come at me like either in the comments or in the DMs and be like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, my life has been uncomfortable enough. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, why would you say that to me? Da, da, da. Yeah. And I'm like sick of that attitude.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this attitude where it's like, well, my life is miserable and I'm going to be miserable and I'm going to make it everybody else's problem because I'm miserable and I'm not, how dare you hold me accountable to try to do something about the misery that I'm in.
Well, it's also interesting because it's like, don't do it then.
Right. Like why am I on your FYP? Like, if you are not
engaged, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, guess what, babes? The more you comment, the more you like, the more you get involved, I'm there. I'm boomeranging right back into your life.
Just and there block is nothing, you if they can't handle it.
Literally. Too. I'm fine. Because I relate so much to what you said. And I think it's because, and this is my own thing to process, but in my own life, I have had to stretch so often. And I've been through some really, really trying, really difficult things. And I've learned how resilient the human spirit actually is. And I have people in my life that have overcome some of the most insane things and retained their optimism and retained love and joy and happiness and laughter and all of these good things while doing the work on the side.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people sell themselves short on what they are capable of emotionally. And I know that's really unpopular.
And
right
I was going to say, do you think it's gotten worse the past few years?
Yeah. I do. I really do. And I think part of this is like even a larger issue where everything has become trauma. Yeah. I think for me, it's really difficult to see how fearful and avoidant people have become of the very thing that will provide them with the tools that they need to live their life the way they want to live. And I check myself a lot. Like, I try really hard to be like, am I asking for us to live in some utopian paradise where everybody is like perfectly mentally well? And I don't think that's true, because I, in all of my content, I'm constantly acknowledging the complexity and the challenge and the difficulty and the need to be kind and patient and graceful with ourselves. Yet you have to be doing other stuff over here. And when I was talking about that idea of like, it's learning how to tolerate discomfort, I really wanted to dive into what I meant about that. Because obviously I couldn't even do it in like a 10-minute TikTok video. So like, so I think to give some examples, right? If we lay out this idea of, okay, the reason I'm going to therapy to make change is so that I can learn how to experience and tolerate discomfort, right?
Yep.
If your whole life has been working to soothe and avoid emotion before you have to deal with it, if your whole life has been people-pleasing, has been fawning, right? Like kind of falling back, never causing issues, you know, oh, I don't like confrontation, right? The first few times you start to step into a space where you no longer fall back on those maladaptive coping skills, you will feel like you're dying.
Yeah.
You will be so uncomfortable. Your chest will be tight. You're probably going to feel like you're going to throw up. You're going to have sweaty armpits, sweaty palms. Your vision's probably going to narrow, because you will, your brain will tell you in that moment you are facing a threat. And that is uncomfortable. And the issue is that up until this moment, anytime you've gotten to that space where you feel that type of discomfort, you are not actually getting through it. You are soothing it to put it away. So when the feelings come up, right? If you're in a situation where you're having a difficult conversation, or there might be a difficult conversation, right? And this is just one example that I'm using to be specific. There's a million ways this works. But if we focus on this idea of like, maybe you have a hard time communicating with people or expressing yourself or saying what you need or identifying what you need. If you're in a moment where that conversation might happen, you start to feel those physical symptoms. You start to have the thoughts of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, there's so much tension here. What am I going to do? There are maladaptive coping skills that you have in that moment to dissipate that discomfort. So that could be you leave the room. That could be you change the subject. That could be you start laughing. You make a joke. You like leave the building. Like, you
You drink. You cause a fight.
Yep. Yeah. You self-sabotage. You
cut someone out completely.
Yep. Say like, fuck you, I'm never talking to you again. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever.
Yep.
That is not dealing with it. That is doing anything you can to avoid having to experience the discomfort of that thing.
Yeah.
So when I say it's learning to tolerate the discomfort, that moment is what we're talking about learning how to sit in. Mm-hmm. And to practice exposure to that and implementing the changes you want to implement mm-hmm. while feeling that way.
Yeah.
And that, I'm going to argue, is real therapy. Mm-hmm. Learning how to make those types of changes and adjustments while kind of feeling like you want to die.
Yeah.
Did that? That was a lot. But did that make sense?
No, I completely agree with that. And I think it's funny because sometimes I forget that it's not obvious to people. I think, yeah. again, because my background is so addiction, eating disorder, oh. recovery.
And this that's is what the I world you people. Live in.
Right. Because it's like, okay, we're going to eat. It's going to be yep. uncomfortable. Your stomach right. is going to hurt, right? Or we're not going to drink. That is going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I have compassion on both sides for yeah. it too, because right, like as a therapist, I also know what it's like to be with someone who's very clearly not interested in like honest feedback.
Yes.
And
yeah.
being direct, and you're in like an interesting position when someone doesn't have a more, you know, obviously when someone, I'm going to use the addiction metaphor again, right? If they are like, you know, getting DUIs or they're like yeah. at risk for losing their children or their life is falling apart, you can kind of point to that as this isn't working. Like, right. I don't really care what you think. This is my clinical opinion. It's not safe what you're doing mm-hmm. when safety sort of issues are involved, which can also be involved in more of that severe mental health issue
right,
camp.
Right, right, right.
But when someone, yeah, just comes to therapy because – especially I think when they don't have really specific goals, when they're like, mm-hmm. I just don't feel good and I don't know why, that's what's – I think that's where a lot of times it gets hard because you probably, right, like don't feel good mm-hmm. because of some of the things you're talking about. And therapy isn't just about validating that. No. And I think what also I really want to like highlight an exclamation point is like you are validated in how you feel, right?
Yes.
Like your feelings around this are valid, mm-hmm. especially if I think about the current political climate we're in. Yeah. Like I don't know many people who – well, yeah, I mean that says something about my personal experience and who I'm friends with. But
yeah,
I don't know that many people who are like this is good and yeah. are feeling good, especially like after the past, you know –
3-4
Six
weeks.
Years. Well, yeah, 3-4 weeks too, but on top of everything, yeah. right? So I think what I'm trying to say is you have to hold both. Mm-hmm. Just because you're feeling uncomfortable doesn't mean we're saying that you don't have reasons to feel uncomfortable or mm-hmm. life might be unfairly hard for you.
Yes.
The world might be uniquely, you know, for a lot of us is really been really hard the past couple weeks or months. Mm-hmm. But us only focusing on that mm-hmm. isn't helping us. Like mm-hmm. on some level, we do need the validation of it. It does feel helpful to feel like we're not crazy. Mm-hmm. But if we only stay there, mm-hmm. that's it. We are selling ourselves short, like you were saying, Sam, and we aren't able to make that progress when we're only using therapy for validation seeking. If this conversation is making you think, I could actually really use a therapist, I have great news for you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, offers therapy in the Philadelphia area and in 43 states across the country. This is also where Sam works. So if you're interested in working with Sam or with me, we sometimes take a limited number of clients every year and we would love to work with you. Or if we're not a fit, we have, like I said, licensed therapists across the country. Learn more at therapyforwomencenter.com.
Like piggybacking off of what you're saying, like I think this is also for anybody that is trying to change anything in their life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you're recognizing why you're having issues in your relationship, but mm-hmm. you don't know how to deal with it. You're recognizing why your kids are feeling so triggering to you or why having a newborn has been so difficult, or a baby or a toddler or whatever, right? Like why you're not feeling appreciated or loved in friendships. Like I think there's so many people I think right now are making a lot of realizations about things. And they can kind of get trapped in the analysis paralysis of that.
Like we're too self-aware, too much self-awareness without enough action.
And this fear that like, well, now I've recognized it and it's going to be really uncomfortable to change it and I don't know what to do. And you're absolutely correct when you say like that fear is valid. Like that's okay. Part of the process is being willing to sit with and acknowledge the struggle that you went through just to get to this space. Right? And tolerate it enough to get to this place where you can actually verbalize what the issue is. That's a huge, I mean, I have, you know, I've worked with plenty of clients and I'm sure you have too, where it takes a while to get to that space to be able to do that. And you kind of spend some time like dancing around it, flirting with it a bit. And then finally one day something will happen or something will click and you see it for what it is. And what is kind of like breaking my heart clinically is I feel like so many people are trapped in that space right now for a million different reasons. But I think in the comments, good and bad and everything in the middle, the DMs that I get, it's all kind of feeling like people are just feeling stuck right now in life. And nobody is quite certain like what action to take or how to take action because people are tired. Like life has been a lot, even just like the last 5 years. And I don't want it to ever seem like I'm being heartless and like trying to glaze over that or say like it's easier than it is. I don't think that. I also think sometimes there has to be like a radical acceptance of the season of life that you're in. And that maybe the season that you're in is a tough one. And it's going to take some really unique and different effort to get to the place that you actually want to go to. And that to have to get through that season doesn't mean you've done something quote unquote wrong or that like your whole life is a failure or anything like that. It's not. It's that you've recognized you're outgrowing something. And, you know, the metaphor that I give to my clients all the time is the idea of like, think of a chick busting out of an egg. It takes time and nobody can help them. That's the key. Like when you see a chick struggling to get out of the egg, you can't help them. You have to allow them to do it themselves and figure out how to bust out and use these new muscles and skills and, you know, motor skills and all of that. And for humans, it's the exact same. And we do that a million times over in our life. But I think it's really easy to you so desperately want to get out of the egg, but you're afraid that it's just going to like collapse on top of you if you try to get out of it. When really what you can do is just kind of like punch your way through bit by bit and eventually you'll find yourself out on the other side and you're like, oh my God, I did it.
I like that metaphor. I also sometimes feel like it's like eye of the needle sort of. It's like, you know, it's really hard when you make a lot of deep discoveries and you really lose your footing and your groundlessness, because a lot of times things we discover really shake our perception of who we are and what we believe and who we consider ourselves to be. So we're like remaking an identity also. So yeah, a lot of times like shit gets worse before it gets better and you kind of know like that's the magic. I also keep thinking, I wonder societally if we have gotten so lazy with the amount of things that help us think, especially. You know, just the amount of technology that's in our lives that really allows us to not have to think and not have to think critically really sometimes makes me nervous and think about, is this part of also what's happening? Is that we're struggling so much
to comprehend.
And like to use those muscles. As you were saying, the analogy about the chick, like we're so used to having an opinion delivered to us on a platter Right? Lord. And so many different opinions delivered to us. And, right, you don't even have to – you can ask AI now. Like, you can – it's not – like, a Google search isn't even easy enough, right? Like, you can now just ask AI. Or you can scroll on TikTok and get, like, 5 different or 100 different ideas. And I – it's like – I don't know, because part of me is conflicted by that, because I'm also like, I do think though when I'm scrolling on TikTok, people verbalize things that I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have thought about that before. So sometimes it does help my critical thinking, but maybe those are just the people that are making content.
But I think you stumbled on something that really makes me kind of nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that makes so much sense given like the ease with which we are like spoon-fed ideas from across the spectrum, across topics.
Well, I was thinking about it too as a parent. Like my first response when my child is struggling or something is hard is I turn to the internet. I'm like, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Or what's wrong with her? Or what's wrong? How can I fix this? Like I don't sit in the problem and try to figure it out. I go look at things and then I come back to solve the problem, which sometimes is helpful, but also I wonder if we're losing the ability to sit in the discomfort because we can just so easily pick up our phone while we're in the problem and like disassociate or think we found a solution, but never actually have to implement it either, right? Like the one thing you can't do with the internet is it can't actually like do anything for you in real life, in your body. And like exist and do the hard part of problem solving in the moment, you at best oversee the information that you get online, but you still have to be the one to implement it. And I wonder if because we are able to get solutions so easily, we are losing some of that grit, you could call it discomfort, tolerance, whatever, of doing something hard. Like I know I've seen a lot of teachers online talking about and things like that, and we should reach out to some maybe and they could come on and tell us this. But I know there has been this is circling around a conversation of critical thinking and how that's being really lost. And a lot of teachers are saying it is so hard with students these days because they're not used to having to be patient and figure something out. And if they don't get it immediately, they just give up, which is exactly what you're talking about essentially in therapy, right? Through the avoidance.
Wow. I think I see that in myself. Like it's just, it's such like a self-soothing center. Like if you're wrestling with an idea.
It's like instant validation.
Yes. Like you immediately want to go see if that's what everybody's thinking. Like if they're thinking the same thing as you are, if they're feeling the same way, or is everybody like interpreting this the same way I'm interpreting it? Rather than just like having confidence in like the truthfulness of what we're experiencing.
Yeah. No, I feel myself very much in what you just said of I like – and even it goes in with what we've been talking about with, right, the rise of self-diagnosis and label, right? It's like we need a label. We need other people to tell us that we're not alone. Again, guys, we know that some validation is good. Yes. We're not saying that. But – we should be able to validate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like also
self-soothing in a meaningful way is healthy.
Yeah.
Self-soothing to avoid and dismiss and minimize is where we start to get tripped up.
It's the same thing with validation, I think you could say, right? Like validation, because you truly feel alone, you are in connection with someone, it truly helps you understand yourself and understand the world better, is great. But you can get addicted to validation. That's literally what a huge part of like the work we do with clients with anxiety or, you know, on the more extreme end, OCD. If you are constantly validation seeking, a lot of times verbally happens to lots of clients. Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Do you still love me? Do you love me? Are you going to leave? Are we okay? But the are you mad at me, right? I mean, that is like number one thing that, right? Like
that was me as a teenager all the time.
And I think so many women, especially now, like it's always are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? And I think that that is, right? We can't sit in the discomfort of someone potentially being mad at us. So then we rely on external validation of being told that no one's mad at us, which mm-hmm. then ironically renders them unable to have a real conversation with us about how maybe this behavior is making them mad at us. And you never learn how to be like, it's also okay if someone's mad at me.
Especially if you did something dumb.
Made a mistake.
Like, yeah, you made a mistake. You said something you didn't mean. You dropped the ball on something. You didn't follow through on something. Like, it means a lot more to me when someone just owns it and repairs.
Yeah.
Rather than constantly asks me to tell them it's okay. Mm-hmm. So that they get to avoid the discomfort of the accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah. This idea of this discomfort, and I think this larger like societal issue that you've brought up is like really fascinating. Because everything is like connected, mm-hmm. right? The macro, mm-hmm. the meso, and the micro, all of it is like interconnected, which I think up until 15 to 20 years ago, those felt like very separate. I think people were able to like very easily disconnect from things and kind of hone in on their life and things mm-hmm. that they were concerned with in their circles and their communities and all of that. And I think now where it feels like there's just like this open channel all the time mm-hmm. to all three layers at any given moment and people screaming at you all the time that this is a problem and this is a problem and this is bad and this is bad and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, but you should do this and you should do that. It's so freaking confusing and overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And like, of course, there's a freeze mm-hmm. element to it, or the fight, flight, freeze, fawn, whichever one you tend to refer mm-hmm. to. Yeah, it's a lot. But again, like to sit in that space and say, am I really living my life? Mm-hmm. Or am I allowing my life to be dictated to by all the information and opinions? And like, am I concerned about this? Or is someone telling me I have to be concerned about this? And that's like, that's not alluding to any one thing. That's just mm-hmm. saying like across whatever you're seeking information or insight about, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can find lots of problems you didn't know you had
yes.
about everything on the internet.
Yeah.
Especially parenting, romantic relationships, friendships, mm-hmm. mental mm-hmm. health.
There's always something to be afraid of. But I think that's just like the human experience.
I've started telling myself that every time is an unprecedented time. Because I really am negatively impacted by everyone, including myself, always yeah. saying like, I'm sick of living in unprecedented times. This is so unprecedented. This is so unprecedented.
Yeah.
And I've just started being like, well, maybe every time is unprecedented because it is new and we haven't lived it before. As we've discussed all of this, Sam, now as we're thinking about if people are listening and they are feeling like, okay, I'm inspired. I relate.
Yeah.
Right? Sam and I are calling ourselves out in this yeah. too. What can we do to actually start implementing these changes instead of just data gathering, I guess we could say. It's also really easy to data gather. Like, it's like the lazy part of it.
It's really easy to move there.
Yeah.
And get trapped there.
And you feel like you're doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're gathering.
You're being so busy. Like, when you're in that phase, you're like, wow, like, doing so much work. Really, yeah. You're just like.
So much research.
You're a rotisserie chicken. Like, you're not going anywhere. You're just getting yeah. crispy. Like, that's, yeah. that's all that's happening. But. So let me give you a made up prompt / scenario to kind of explain like what this would look like. So let's say someone in therapy came to me and said, I am not happy in the relationship that I'm in. I want to leave the relationship. How do I do it? And I would be like, well, you're going to have a conversation about leaving the relationship. And their response would be like, yes, absolutely. Totally. How do I do it? Well, we're going to talk about communication skills. We're going to talk about distress tolerance. We're going to talk about beliefs that you have around the relationship and the relationship ending. And we're going to address what you would like to say in the conversation and what you want to make sure you get across. And then we're going to have a conversation. Okay, great. How do I do it? And it's really easy to get stuck in that space of how do I do it? Mm-hmm. Because you recognize that doing it is actually pretty easy. Mm-hmm. It's all the self-erected trigger points that we've put up around it that mm-hmm. are very uncomfortable and are very difficult mm-hmm. that we know we will have to push through in order to get to the other side. And that is a daunting thing to work up to.
Yeah.
And so to identify this idea of the problem is like 20% of the work. Mm-hmm. The other 80% is spending time working on your internal world in order to feel like you are better prepared to take the action that you need to take. Now, when I say mm-hmm. preparing your internal world, I'm not talking about data collecting. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about challenging narratives, sitting with your emotions and riding them like a wave, mm-hmm. tolerating naming what you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Name it to tame it. I'm talking about self-soothing in a way that allows you to feel nurtured mm-hmm. as opposed to avoidant, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is the work that we're talking about that helps us get to a more managed place as we take action. And notice I didn't say comfortable as I'm talking about mm-hmm. taking action. That's not what we're looking for here. It's par for the course that a lot of these decisions are going to suck.
Yeah.
We're doing that internal world to help build a foundation to stand on as we start to do these things, right? Going back to the relationship of breaking up. If you're ending a relationship, you're getting a divorce, whatever. To take the steps that you need to take to do that. Mm-hmm. To have the conversations, to speak with the attorney if you need to, you know, do all of these things mm-hmm. that are going to be really hard, but are absolutely necessary for you to get to the life that you feel ready to live.
Oh, I love that. It just perfectly ties in with what we've been talking about of how often we get stuck in wanting someone else to do, right? Like I was thinking about how Googling, how do I leave someone? How do yeah. I tell someone, right? Yeah. Like I was thinking the other day too, in the age of like, you can get a prompt for everything, mm-hmm. right? And prompts used to be so revolutionary, like a few years ago.
Yeah, they really did.
Like I remember when I was making boundary prompts and people were like, this is life-changing. I never would have thought of how to say it this
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And that was like important and great. But now in the age of AI and in the age of everyone gives prompts for everyone, they're like, they're really not helpful because you can know exactly what to say, but you again,
right?
It doesn't matter if you know the perfect thing to say, you have to be the one to have it come out of your mouth.
Yes.
Or call the phone, or
yep.
even if you email it, you have to deal with the response
right.
on the other end. And once that ball starts rolling, you, number one, are going to know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the problem is we want to know, right? As you were talking about, we have to regulate ourselves. We have to be able to name our feelings. You're talking about all these skills. We also sometimes don't even know what we need until we take that first step. And mm-hmm. then the second step and the third step are revealed to us, mm-hmm. which is why you have to take the first yeah. step. Otherwise, none of the other steps are revealed to you.
No. And you know, it's the same thing with it's like, I really want to start a morning routine.
Yeah.
Okay, bet. Start a morning routine. Mm-hmm. Well, how do I start a morning routine? Well, what do you want to do in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, I want to wake up and I want to work out. Okay, great. So you're going to wake up and you're going to work out. Well, you know, like it's, there's no way. And I think maybe this is like the summation of what I was trying to communicate in that mm-hmm. post as well. I knew that was short form content that required nuance, but I was feeling yeah. lazy and spicy that day. So I am only human. But what if I was having like a one-on-one conversation with someone of my clients asking me questions about it,
yeah.
how I would sum it up is there is no way to avoid work. Mm. and there is no way to avoid effort. And I think part of why we are where we are currently, societally, like at all levels, is because I think with the age of technology that we're in, mm-hmm. We're in the midst of this huge technical revolution now that AI is here and mm-hmm. everything is changing very rapidly. And the world that we knew of in high school is gone and not coming back. I think we're trying to figure out how to implement that same level of ease, kind of like what you were saying earlier, right? The same level of ease to all areas of life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now because it's so easy over here, why isn't it getting easier over here? Mm-hmm. And we've become detached from effort mm-hmm. in our own lives, in our own relationships. And I get that, right? Because there's so many people are going to come at me and say like, but I'm working all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right. And your whole life is work. Mm-hmm. You come home and you're like, well, I'm way too tired to talk to anybody. I'm way too tired to do that. I'm way too tired to go out. I'm way too tired to see people. I'm way too tired to do this. I'm way too tired to do that. Right. Which I get it. Depending on your life circumstance, that's absolutely true. Right. Like if you're a new parent, if you have a couple kids, mm-hmm. totally. And with all of that said, if you are not feeling fulfilled in your life, if you are feeling trapped and unhappy in your own life, I am sorry, not sorry to break it to you that something will have to change. Mm-hmm. Something will have to give in order for you to start living a life that feels like you are actually living and not just surviving. I don't know if that means you need to cut back on hours at your job. I don't know if that means you need to switch around your budget so that you can afford the cut in hours or change mm-hmm. in job, whatever. Maybe that's your kids are doing less activities that you have to be responsible to shuttle them around for all around the world. I don't know if that means your relationship has to change, your dynamics have to change, right? Like calling in a tribe, actually relying on the people that tell you that they are willing to help mm-hmm. and following through on those offers. I think there's so many people that are so deeply unhappy. And when you look at their situations, it makes sense why, right? Like no one is sitting here saying like, you're making up your own suffering. No, like life is really hard right now for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And you have to decide to do something different about it. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to just sit and hope that someone else is going to come save you and do it all for you. That's not happening. I wish it was. I wish it was that simple for me personally.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. There's nobody, just as you said so perfectly, nobody is doing the work for you. Nobody is doing it for you. You changing your own life and living a life that makes you feel more content is up to you.
I think it's really great, Sam, because I think one thing I struggle with is because I am so weary of being labeled as like a self-help guru.
Mm-hmm.
I really struggle to lean into this sometimes, to lean into hope, because what I keep hearing is like you saying like you are more capable yes. than you give yourself credit for.
Yes.
I think it is an important message, and I'm honestly pissed off that like the self-help gurus have sort of hijacked hope and inspiration and made it that we can't talk about that because it can be misconstrued mm-hmm. or it has just been so warped mm-hmm. by their falsehoods and grifting, a lot of them.
Yeah.
That it is something that is hard to talk about as a therapist or someone who isn't that is what like I keep coming against, and it's really hard. And I think a big difference obviously that we're saying between us and other people is mm-hmm. we are saying you are valid. We're saying you're not making it up.
Yeah.
We're saying if you want to make a change, you can also make a microscopic change.
Yes.
And start there. We're not saying just wake up tomorrow and do everything different. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to start a morning routine and work out, you could stretch for 5 minutes and that would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Meet yourself where you're at 100%.
Yeah. And we're not just saying like toxic positivity, do it, think it, be mm-hmm. it. You can, you know, convince yourself of anything. But I'm just like angry that the self-help gurus have sort of ruined hope.
Yeah.
And even account, like, and like responsibility is a lot of times like a bad word. And again, I know I'm probably annoying a lot of you by saying this over and over again. Like, I'm not saying that like the word responsibility can't be weaponized.
Right.
But it is empowering.
Yes.
To give yourself credit, to look at your life and look at all the things you've been through and stop underestimating yourself. But it also requires being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to take that first step is vulnerable, and that's a big reason that we stay stuck.
It is my passion to inspire people to this space because I could not agree more with everything you just said about the self-help space that I really think has exploded over the last like 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. When social media really started to take off in like 2016, 2017,
yeah.
and around there. And I just think so many people are selling themselves so short of what they are capable of. And I'm tired of being told that when I say that to someone, I am telling them like that, like me saying that is now immediately like invalidating to them, and it's not validating the struggle. Yeah, that I'm literally like harming someone by saying like, no, 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 you can work through this and overcome this.
Yeah.
And I think it is so brutally unfair how many people don't have people in their life that are telling them that.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't have people that are telling them like, you want better? Great. How are we going to get you there? You want different? Excellent. How are we going to get you there?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is leaning into the challenge and the struggle of it. And to feel challenged and to feel struggle is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing that, you know, going back to the conversation you had about teachers, like I have friends who are teachers and they talk about kids can't deal with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And parents are intervening for everything and like just lawn mowing any sense of like ability of their kid to like grow. And then as their kid gets older, they're like, well, why are they so dependent on me? I don't understand. Like, why are they so anxious? Like, why are they so overwhelmed? Because you taught them that.
And I think our communities are creating this as well. And I think that's what's really hard is when you are the parent who sees this happening or wants to stop it happening, they're influenced by a lot of other people, friends, communities, schools. Right? I mean, you know, schools that are obsessed with teaching to tests and, you know, like that impacts critical thinking skills too, because it's more about the test and grades than, right, like developing, you know, thinking skills. So yeah, I'm always cautious to be, you know, we're not saying that it's your fault or it's simple.
Yeah.
It's just an unfortunate pattern.
Yeah. And I guess I want to say too, like I am passionate about this because I've seen how it's saved my life. This mindset for me. And guess what? If you got to the end of this episode and you want to tell me to take a fucking hike, like feel free. If this isn't your ethos, if this isn't how you want to live, awesome.
Yeah.
Life will probably feel a little more clunky.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Some people are okay with that and some people are fine with that. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I know part of why so many of my clients come to me is because they're not either.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen helping people work through this sense of discomfort and how to overcome things and how to sort through things and work through things in a way that feels real and authentic and valid to their individual experience changes the way that they feel they're able to live. It changes the way they are in their friendships, in their relationships as a parent. And I just am so passionate about women feeling empowered and inspired, and men too, to live life embracing that sometimes things are going to feel really hard, even if we know they're good.
Mm-hmm. I think that people really underestimate how getting through difficult things, getting through struggle, is one of the most powerful ways to build confidence and build self-worth and build self-trust.
Yeah.
And I very much agree. My life completely changed when I got sober.
Yeah.
Because I had hard conversations with people. I had to tell people how I lied. I had to tell people how I stole.
Yeah.
I told people about the number of people I had sex with. I did so, which some of it wasn't trauma informed, and we can go into that. Yeah. But I had to stop running from everything. Mm. I had to stop just getting parking tickets and showing up to class late and being hungover and, not responding to people and not participating in life essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And my life is completely different from then. And even just in the past few years, I've struggled a lot with becoming a new parent and my business. And, I never thought that I would be able to deal with pushback or, having people not like me.
Right.
Very obviously.
Yeah.
And I have dealt with it. And as a result, I am much more stable and confident.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the older I get, the more I'm bring it on.
Yep.
I mean, not in terms of the world, but in terms of personal experience and feeling like I can handle hard things. And if we can start shifting a little bit more from, this is all horrible and negatively impacting me to seeing it as opportunities for growth and taking some of them.
Right.
It can change your life.
Right. And we're saying all of this because we believe in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to know what you think.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments. As always, we appreciate your support so much.
Mm-hmm. And if you could, if you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to get the word out about the pod would mean the absolute world to us. And we think you're the best.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.